They have been an important yardstick for measuring progress towards reducing poverty levels over the past dozen years. The Millennium Development Goals, or MDGs, are due to finish in 2015. But how much have they achieved? And what other poverty reduction goals will take their place when the deadline runs out? Members of a high-level panel set up by the UN to begin work on designing a replacement for the MDGs are meeting with British Prime Minister David Cameron and other government officials in London this week. The Catholic Development Agency CAFOD is among those at the forefront of the campaign calling for a strong replacement framework for poverty reduction goals after 2015. Vatican Radio's Susie Hodges spoke to Dr. Amy Pollard, CAFOD's lead analyst on post-2015 development goals. First of all, how would you rate the progress towards reducing poverty over the past 10 years or so since the Millennium Development Goals were set up? I mean, progress has been a bit patchy, hasn't it?
That's right. It's been an uneven picture with greater progress on some goals than others and greater progress in some countries than others. But overall, we can see a really positive trajectory with several of the goals being hit entirely and almost all of them showing really significant progress. And that really stands to show us very clearly what value a set of goals such as the MDGs have and really make the case for why we need a new set when the current framework runs out in 2015.
And which are the goals where there has been, in general, the most success?
Well, there's goal number one, which is about reducing the number of people in absolute poverty and hunger, has made remarkable progress and has actually been met nearly 2 years early, largely due to the enormous strides that have been made in Asia and also in a number of low-income countries.
As we already said, the MDGs are due to finish in 2015. What does CAFOD and other anti-poverty campaigners want in their place?
Well, we want to see a really strong and legitimate successor to the MDGs, which makes real change for people living in poverty. And we think the new framework needs to work as a prioritisation tool, which makes sure that the issues that matter most to people in poverty stay on the international agenda, and that there's a high level of political action and accountability to drive progress towards those goals.
There's a meeting in London this week of a high-level panel that's been appointed by the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to set out, shall we say, a replacement framework for the post-2015, you know, when the Millennium Development Goals expire. What are you looking for from this meeting?
Well, it's a very important meeting because it's the first time that the high-level panel, which is a series of eminent representatives from all sorts of different walks of life within the sustainable development and the poverty reduction field, are coming together. The first time that they really get down to the nuts and bolts of what they want to achieve. And we think job number one needs to be setting out clearly what the rationale of this framework needs to be. What's the overarching purpose that it needs to be working towards, and how exactly is it going to deliver change? Because it's very easy to come up with a series of goals which are aspirational targets and look good on paper, but if you haven't really thought through how exactly that they're going to make a difference for people in poverty, then you could just be wasting your time.
Okay, let's look at poverty itself as an issue. Why is poverty and poverty levels so intractable?
Well, we really feel that there is some structural causes to poverty which consistently mean that poor people are not competing on a level playing field when it comes to big business and when it comes to living as fully as they can and participating in social, cultural and economic life. And what we think it's the real key for this framework is to try and get at a few key issues which really allow you to get to the heart of those structural causes of poverty and give poor people the full freedom to contribute and to fully flourish in the world. So CAFOD, we think that means things like an enabling environment, so making sure that poor people have the right to speak out and the right to hold their governments to account when decisions are being made that affect their lives.
And what do the poor themselves say about poverty? Can they often point to a reason why they are poor?
Well, yeah, that's a really interesting question. One of the key priorities which CAFOD have been fighting for tooth and nail since the beginning of this process was making sure that poor people themselves got a clear say in the process and were given the opportunity to express their views. And what we've been doing with our partners is bringing about a large-scale initiative which will be an unprecedented attempt to pull those voices together and to influence a particular policy process. What we're hearing already from our partners is that there are a number of issues that matter very much to people living in poverty, and it's not always the ones that the high-level decision-makers and the elites would expect. So we're really looking forward to seeing the full results of that research and communicating them to the people who have the power.
But you can't give us any ideas, at least, about what are some of those responses that are coming up?
Well, as I said, I mean, some of the surprises are things around livelihoods, for example. So the issue around competing on a level playing field, for example, and making sure that people in small businesses have equal opportunities and aren't crowded out of the market with large businesses. And when decisions are being made that go against poor people, there's a right to speak out and to hold decision makers to account. Those are the kinds of things that have come through from CAFOD's research and that we expect to see more of in the coming months.
Okay, looking back, shall we say, in the light of our experience of working with the Millennium Development Goals, what are the actions necessary to drive progress towards a successful reduction of poverty, you know, that has emerged more clearly, perhaps, the strategies that work on this front in the past 10 or so years?
Well, we think that action needs to be taken by all countries, rich, poor and middle income, to bring about systemic change in the world. I think for rich countries like Britain, you need to do more than just deliver aid budgets. Whilst aid is a very important part of the puzzle, it's not enough to give money. We need to be thinking about whether we're playing fair with developing countries and whether we're setting up rules that are to our advantage and to the disadvantage of poor people and their right to develop. So we think, for example, things like transparency around business practices and making sure that the standards by which British countries operate are the same in developing countries as they would be in places like Britain, so that Britain isn't contributing to corruption and to systems that deny poor country governments the revenues that they can get through taxation, which are so critical to their development.
And finally, how optimistic are you that there will be a replacement framework in place by the time the existing Millennium Development Goals expire?
Well, I'm increasingly optimistic there will be some kind of framework. Since CAFOD were one of the first agencies to be involved in this debate, and when we first started, there was almost nobody who was interested in the agenda at all. And over the last 6 to 9 months, we've seen an absolute explosion of interest and activity around this agenda. And I think given the momentum that's starting to build, it's really very likely that we'll get some kind of framework after 2015. The question remains, however, whether that framework will be strong enough and legitimate enough to make a difference.